Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by a FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And guys, we were able to do this show last week live from the Iron Pig Smokehouse for opening day. Since then, you know, the Tigers have, muddled along. Nice win last night.
Big win.
They've got a brutal schedule in the month of April.
Well, you start out with 10 games in a row. How often do we see opening day, day off, you play again, then you get rain or snow or something like that. It's usually a sputtering start, Rich, to the start of the season. They're playing 10 days in a row. They don't get their first day off until Monday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Keith. I mean, when you start off with the White Sox, for one thing, okay, going to obviously playoff team, and then you're going to, you play Boston, you're going to play the Yankees next after this Kansas City.
Right.
This Kansas City, this four-game tour right now in Kansas City is really what would be considered their easiest, I guess, of the whole month.
Yeah.
Gonna get the Dodgers this month.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, we're going to find out right away what's going on.
It's not that. I mean, hopefully they can make it out of April somewhere near 500. You'd hate to see them. This is like... what's happened to the Lions the last couple of years is they have just a brutal schedule
three
to start
first
out
four
with.
On the road or something like that, yeah.
You know, against all teams that were in the playoffs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then you're 1-5, and where do you go? I mean, if the Tigers can stay competitive, that's one thing. But, if they get out of the month and they're like 7-20, that's exactly what happened to them last year.
They
had a horrible start to the season.
That's right.
Which they had the exact same schedule, Rich, which they always do, and I want to choke Major League Baseball because they always play the Sox and the Yankees in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, and even with, the Yankees bring some people into town. But, I'm watching that Red Sox games, and there's nobody in the stands.
Nope.
Nobody.
Nope.
I thought the Red Sox had a bigger following than that.
They're not one of the greatest teams in the American League right now. They're on a little bit.
The Sox?
The Red Sox.
They're the best offense in baseball last year. They had the best batting average and hit more home runs than any other team in baseball last year. And they have pretty much the same lineup. So I'm just saying, they didn't make the playoffs last year because their pitching was pretty poor.
Right.
But those guys can whack the baseball, and they showed up against the Tigers.
And you play in that division with Tampa Bay, and then you got the Yankees, of course. And it's just, that's why I think it's
brutal
important.
Division.
Brutal. That's why it's important, I think, for the Tigers to win 3 out of 4 in Kansas City.
That
if they could
nice.
Do that, that would be great.
Well, they're 3-4 right now. They're third in the Central Division.
Right.
And it's really early. I don't want to get carried away, but I look at their overall team offensive and pitching stats and so on, and really they're in the bottom third in almost every important statistical category. That's going to change. They're going to start hitting. Their offense is going to come. But, it's been a little bit of a, JC said, it's kind of a muddy start.
And again, the only person really red hot to start to see is Austin Meadows. Hitting over 400.
Oh, I like him.
Kids playing.
He's hitting, 450 or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Miguel three hits last night.
And Miguel is warming up here, too. Yeah, he's fast approaching that 3,000.
I think he wants to get it behind him as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that would be great.
The other half of this story, guys, is, Javi Baez hasn't played in a couple games. Robbie Grossman hasn't played in a couple games. We still have pitchers that are out. But the amount of people heading to the injury list in Major League Baseball is atrocious.
Yeah.
And it's all born out of the fact that we had to have a four-week
rushed spring training. That's right.
And how you see it all the time. When they don't get the proper work in that warm weather and they come up to these cold weather areas, and the injuries are happening everywhere, but still, that cold weather man, Baez, he's not going to play again tonight.
No.
They've already said. And he was in the starting lineup last night, and it was a late scratch.
But look at the timing couldn't have been worse for the Tigers. As soon as the White Sox leave town, every single frickin' starter on their lineup is on the injury list.
Really?
Yeah, look at Harrison, Jimenez, Lance Lynn, A.J. Pollock, Lucas Giolito, Yemen Mercedes. All of them did damage against the Tigers.
Right, exactly.
Wow. You know, what did you used to say, Keith? You're the one that told me it's not who you play, but when you play them. You know, we play these guys 3 days later and we sweep them.
You know, they talk about that short spring training again. It's going to catch them up in a lot of different ways. But one of the ways, a couple of nights ago, the left-hander out in L.A., perfect game through seven innings.
Clayton Kershaw.
80 pitches, only 80 pitches. Perfect game. We've only had 23 perfect games in the history of baseball. And they took him out.
Took him out.
Here is our injury list right now. Javi Baez, Robbie Grossman, Tyler Matheson, Andrew Chafin, Elmer Alonso, Kyle Funkhauser, Zach Hess, Paul Ricken, Riley Green, Derek Hill, Spencer Turnbull, Jake Rogers, Jose Cisneros, Tanner Kohlhopp, Ramon Arroso, and Franklin Perez. We have actually the longest, even a longer injury list than the White Sox. It's just not all ours, you know, our superstars.
Half a dozen of those are key players. Half a dozen.
Well, Chafin, we spent a fortune on.
Yes, that's good. Big bullpen.
You know, a left-handed arm, and, you know, Funkhauser had a great year last year. Riley Green, they've got him listed as day-to-day.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Derek Hill's day-to-day, too, isn't he?
No, Derek Hill's on the 10-day IL.
Still out?
Yeah. Turnbull's still 60 days away.
Right.
So is Jake Rogers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me. I'm sorry. It sounds like I'm in a crabby mood. To help this problem, they let you have two extra players for the month of April?
Yeah, exactly. That's their answer to the problem.
Yeah.
Keep the payroll down.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I mean, who wants to go see the White Sox? If you're a White Sox fan, but you're not a season ticket holder, are you going to buy tickets in April to see all these kids from, you know, double and triple A?
Your Iowa City team?
Yeah. So, is there that much money in TV that you don't need to have 10,000 go from 6,000 or 8,000 to 22,000 people in the stands?
It's discouraging. Yeah. You know, to see that, like you said, you know, you see those great opening day crowds, and it's amazing, and it's so cool. You can hear them on the radio. Each game, Tiger game right here at 101.1.
Thank you, Rich.
Yep, you bet. And
congratulations, obligated to mention that.
then you go down to the 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 fans and all that, and those spacious stadiums, and it's just, you know, it's disheartening, you know, for sure. By the way, Spencer Torkelson, starting to come around a little bit.
He was
really discouraged those first four or five games when he hadn't gotten a hit yet. Yeah. And you can see, like, it's not like him to slam his bat down. He was really showing some frustration. That's typically not this kid.
Right.
I've watched
a
lot of his at-bats in the minor leagues and in college. And he really, he's starting to come around now. He got that first home run, got that first hit, all that. So, again, he seems to have a pretty decent eye for the strike zone. He strikes out, but still he'll take some walks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the Tigers end the month, like I said, with the Dodgers. They're in L.A., and I'm just looking at this, and it's in L.A., it's Kirk Gibson bobblehead night.
Oh, perfect.
Because I had to double-check it. I go, well, why wouldn't it be? Oh, yeah. You know, he had one memorable moment in in L.A.
Hugely memorable moment.
Yeah.
He still was the MVP that year.
Wow.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Kirk Gibson
MVP.
Was the MVP of the year of the league that year.
I
the
don't
only time
that.
He ever won the MVP.
Wow.
He had a massive year that year.
Yes, he did.
He was. I didn't realize that. Of the entire of the year,
the
he
National
was the
MVP.
Yeah. No kidding.
I tell you what, two of the most memorable bats that, in my mind, in the history of the game, as a from the media standpoint or just as a fan watching, were that one home run that he hit in Detroit against the Padres when Dick Williams he wanted to walk him, and his pitcher, Goose Gossage, didn't want to walk him. I want to pitch to him. He remembers the spark
interaction.
Oh, my God.
And go to hit.
It was
go
that.
To
Gibson says, okay, I'll hit. And then, boom, it's in the upper deck, you know, a few pitches later. And then that dramatic home run he hit.
National League MVP, 1988.
Wow. What a moment. Two great, great moments.
Yeah.
that guy.
I know. I see Keith raise his eyebrows sometimes with my unfact checks. But I was like 99.5%
That's a good. That's a good one.
Well, that team basically was Gibson and then Oral Hershiser in the World Series in the playoffs. Yeah. Because Gibson was out of the entire playoffs other than the one home run.
I was going to say, that was his only at-bat.
That was his only at-bat.
The entire World Series was that and had such an impact on it.
What I remember most is
he will live forever in video.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what I remember from that is Vin Scully never said a word. It just let the crowd have the moment for all that time. It was
I wonder if he'll ever make it into the Hall of Fame. You know, won two World Series, was the NL MVP, was the ALCS MVP for us, won the Silver Slugger Award in 88 as well, and he was the National League Manager of the Year in 2011.
Wow.
You know, he is right on the cusp.
Yeah, when you put all of that on the resume.
And now with the Alzheimer's and everything else, I wouldn't. He's right on the edge.
Plus, he was an All-American football player.
Well, I don't think that really goes to but...
And where was that at, Keith, by the way?
At Michigan State, yes, he was.
He was in the movie... what the hell's the name? Never mind. But, we've got a whole season in front of us.
Yes.
But, like I said, the Tigers have got some work to do in April to keep their head above water.
Another good moment last night, Cabrera three hits, but Casey Mize pitched was a pretty gutsy performance from him. He was in and out of trouble early
on. He was.
He knows how to get himself out of trouble. The kid's got something special. Five innings pitched, six hits, two earned runs, only two walks, two strikeouts. He wasn't dominant, but he was smart. He made great pitches when he had to.
Yeah. I watched most of that game, and I know he was frustrated by his first start.
Yeah,
so,
very much
that
so.
Was good. You know, obviously a lot of eyes on the starting pitching.
Yes.
Rodriguez, two middling outings.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they can turn that around. And we're going to need this bullpen. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, the average start is 5.5 innings now.
Yeah. Everybody's using a lot of pitchers right now.
I'm surprised that A.J. Hinch went into the sixth inning with a couple of his pitchers, and it was almost too long. It was the sixth inning when they got in trouble and they lost leads. So we got an important one tonight, Tarik Skubal.
Had
a horrible start.
Yep, beat up in his first start.
Yep.
And he had a great spring training. So I look for that kid to bounce back tonight.
Who's pitching
Brad
for the Royals?
Brad Keller, right-handed pitcher Brad Keller.
He had a big ERA last year, a 5-something. So hopefully we can really tag him early.
Get their hitting shoes on.
Well, we haven't, and we haven't really seen the Bobby Witt Jr. effect in those two games either.
Right.
So, you know, I'm fine for him to get his bat hot after we leave
somewhere
town.
Else. Yeah,
but. I just want to see, you know, I was looking at some of the where we got, because after this series, they got the Twins coming up, and the Twins had a real rough start, too. They started off with the Dodgers, and so they're at the bottom of the standings right now in the Central.
Right. The Yankees come to town on Tuesday of next week.
Yeah.
And so they'll be, again, this is a four-game series with Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rich. They should go 3-for-4 here.
Yeah.
You know, the Guardians are 4-2. That's not going to last.
No.
But, you know, we're going to be chasing the White Sox, but a lot of people like the Twins with all the moves they made. So that series coming up is going to be a little telling about what kind of rivalry we'll have with those guys in the Central Division.
Right. And J.C., you mentioned some of those National League teams playing. I mean, we play Colorado after the Yankees.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and then we play Minnesota, and then the Dodgers is when we go out there. So, some National League flavor early in the season.
Yeah, well, I don't mind playing the Rockies. You know, they're kind of the scrawny birds in in the NL West. You've got San Diego, the Dodgers, and the Giants are all going to be battling it out. I don't know what the Diamondbacks are going to be like, but, I mean, it's so early in the season.
Yeah.
But
then
you get too far behind, and it just right. you got to play 600 ball.
And like the Tigers showed last year, you know, that one month, bad month, can, you know, set you back the entire year, because they played above 500 baseball the entire rest of the year.
Or you start out the month super hot. Yeah, like the A's did last year, you end up making it in the playoffs.
Distance,
yeah,
right.
No, it's you got to play 162 games, and you got to win 90 of them if you're going to make the playoffs, right? Between 87 and 90
that's
games.
Right. That's right.
And the oldest adage in the world is you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and what you do with those other 60 games is what puts you where you're going to end up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's Sparky Anderson math, right?
That's what I heard there was good, better than Yogi Berra.
Yogi, yeah, right.
90% of baseball is mental, and the other 50%.
Exactly.
All right, the Comedy Hour next here on Up North Sports Radio. We'll be back to talk about what I think is really cool, which is the NBA playoffs this year. And
let me tell you, Rich.
Where do you want to go next?
No. That's good.
You can take over. You know what? Let's move here and see how the show moves along hosting.
I want your read on these playoffs coming up.
Well, you know, it is the baseball season is upon us, and you could turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Detroit Tigers right now. New customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. I like building a same-game parlay with three legs or more, like the Tigers to win, who's going to hit the first home run, and the total score.
FanDuel has great promotions every day. The app is safe, and you get paid fast when you win. So, Tigers fans, see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code WGRY and get started with your own risk-free bet up to $1,000.
That's promo code WGRY.
21 and present in Michigan, first online real money wager, refund issued. Is non-withdrawable site credits that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Back after these words from our prime partners on Up North Sports Radio. Calkins to the emergency room. Calkins to the emergency room. Doctor.
Stat.
Welcome back to Friday Face Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabe, and Rich is running to the toilet. Yeah, guys, we were just talking off air about the NBA playoff end game, and I like it for a couple of reasons. It jacks up the intensity,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us that kind of games leading up to the actual NBA playoffs, because we would have just had 4 days without basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's best two out of three, JC?
It's not all best two out of three. So the guys that won the first play-in games on Tuesday are in.
Okay, automatic.
Okay, so that team, the losing team, the Cavaliers, are playing the Hawks, who played in the lesser of the play-in games. The Hawks beat Charlotte. They were the 9-10.
Right.
So the Nets are in, and they're playing the Celtics. The Cavaliers, because they finished inside the top eight, get a round-robin loss. But there is no round-robin loss at the 9-10 spot. Okay? I know it's a little confusing.
You follow that?
Right, because that's what I was trying to write. I thought it was single elimination, but then I see some of the teams that lost are still playing and all that, so I didn't fully understand.
Yeah, so it's still your seeding mattered at the end of the year, and so the Hawks are playing the Cavs. Yeah. The Hawks had to win to play the Cavs. And so that's happening tonight at 7 o'clock. Should be a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs, you know, probably the team most affected by injuries in the NBA. They were dynamite until Hall went down. And they've had three great starters miss the bulk of the season. They came out of the gates. They were in second place in the NBA.
They were playing really well most of the year.
And then the surprising Pelicans. You know, the Pelicans were nowhere until C.J. McConnell was traded there.
Yeah.
And he has been incredible. I thought for sure that they would lose to the Spurs. You know, you're talking about the best coach in basketball, the Spurs on a run and everything else. And they got blown out. Yeah. That was my bet of the day. The Spurs getting 5.5 from the Pelicans. In fact, I thought they were a good bet on the money. And I bet them both. Mm-hmm. Bet them on the money. They got blown out.
Wow.
And there's a lot of talk that Greg Popovich is going to walk away. He's not going to do, I think he's going to.
Yeah.
I don't. He is not one of those guys to have
wants a farewell tour
or everything
no.
else. I've met him a couple of times. You know, he and Larry Brown are like this.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. Brown is Popovich's best man.
Really?
Yeah. When his wife has now passed away, she died from cancer. You probably remember that story.
Yeah.
But you know, no. Brown and Popovich are tight. If you remember, Brown coached at San Antonio, and that's when Popovich was general manager. And after Larry took another job, imagine that. Pop moved from the front office onto the floor where he's done okay.
Yeah, he's done.
Where do you put him in the pantheon of
the best?
The best NBA coach ever.
Yeah. He is one of those guys.
Makes sense to me.
You know, like Red Auerbach. Well, they played with all-stars all the time, and the same thing with Phil Jackson and Riley. Those are the accepted best coaches, right? But Popovich has played with way less time. I mean, he had some pretty good talent, but, you know, Robinson's really the only Hall of Fame. David Robinson
and Duncan.
Duncan. Now, you know, not a floor full of all stars.
Right.
So he's one of those guys, like you talk about, Coach K, Bobby Knight. I'll go ahead and coach my five against your five, or I'll go ahead and take your five, and
still beat you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I agree. But he got so much of that from Larry Brown. He is a Brown disciple. They draw up incredible inbound plays. That's one of the hallmarks of Larry Brown's team and the coaches out of his coaching tree. I think that's probably going to be the end for him.
Because
how far away are they from winning title?
Yeah. There are years down the road there from doing anything spectacular in the playoffs. And I think someone asked him that in the post-game conference. And press conference after the game, and he said, I don't think that's an appropriate question. Because he didn't want to talk about
that.
That's one of the nice things he says to the media.
But, you know, it's pretty interesting what he thinks about the media. You know, he has fantastic relationships with a lot of people in the that he respects.
Right.
He doesn't suffer fools at all.
Right.
You know that whole attitude, Keith.
Right. Yeah.
You come prepared, which is what you did every day. You ask intelligent, relevant questions. If they ruffle feathers, that's okay, as long as they're based in fact.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get like, hey, how come you wore your yellow shoes today?
Yeah.
It was the scrums, those stupid questions from the scrums are what he can't tolerate. And some coaches are better handling those things than others. But I don't mind his attitude generally. Then there are guys like Bobby Knight, who was just abusive every chance he got to the media, which was tough to deal with as well.
Well, you know, Bo was kind of like that.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, he was.
You know, that was that different time. Bill Parcells, you know, that kind of coaching tree was, you know what, I'm going to run my media room exactly like I run my team.
Yeah.
And there's no opinion but mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got sent to cover something at Michigan. I don't know what the heck. It was some sort of a PR thing. Bo was trying to sell something, right? And I drew the short straw. I had to go out and
I was selling something with Millie's charity.
I was actually afraid, you know, to have to deal with this guy on a one-on-one, you know, and he did his thing, and I talked to him afterward. I just went up and, you know, kind of talked to him. And he said, Keith, just take – and he grabs the helmet. He said, look at this helmet. Look at it. He's telling me about the helmet. He's going on and on. You know, but I don't know how he even knew my name, but he did, which was kind of flattering. He treated me very nice, and all of a sudden I fell in love with him for a second. But I know – I knew how tough he was to deal with generally on a day-to-day basis. Covered his football team was not a treat. Was not a treat, that guy.
Yeah, you know, the suffer the fools question, I think, is important. The thing I was going back to is, if you remember Craig Sager, NBA sideline guy who died of cancer.
Oh, God,
With the flashy suits, the sport coats.
He supported Sager. He visited him in the hospital. You know, he wore Popovich, who never wore sport coats or anything else, started wearing Seeger type.
People.
Popovich got emotional talking about him one time, you know, and he does.
His wife died of cancer,
yes.
You know.
That really got to him because, again, he had a lot of respect for Sager, for sure.
And not those, you know, that's the thing that coaches hate the worst, Keith. You know that is those stupid sideline reporters that have to ask him a question heading into the locker room.
Contractually obligated questions.
They do not like doing those interviews at all. But you know what? That's a tough gig. I wouldn't want
to
have to do that.
Girls do it.
That's exactly right.
They're nice to them.
I hate to be sexist.
No. That's right.
There is a reason, right? They hope they're a little softer with their responses.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just that, you know,
it's
hard to be mean to a pretty girl.
Yeah.
And you know, football and basketball both. Those are tough gigs, man.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, you're right in the middle of the battle. You're still trying to figure things out. You're doing that. I mean, holy, you know, you're just, it's very tough.
So let's go over, we don't know the last games in, right? Both of these teams are going to determine who the number one seed on both sides is going to play, right? So the Heat is going to end up playing either Cleveland or Atlanta, and the Suns is either going to end up playing the Clippers or the Pelicans. And, you know, it's not going to happen, but they've been starting to show more Zion Williamson stuff.
Yeah.
And it would be just so wild to see him show up. It'd be so stupid. A guy that hadn't played one game all year long, step into a playoff
game.
The
intensity of the playoffs when he's not
the
ready
Pelicans,
for that.
The Pelicans, I mean, are good.
They are.
Without him.
Yeah. But anyway, so the series start. There's the two last playing games are today, like I talked about, and then it starts in earnest tomorrow, guys. So you got the Jazz playing the Mavs, you got the Timberwolves playing the Grizzlies, you got the Raptors playing the 76ers, and you've got the Nuggets and the Warriors. So I put you guys on the spot, NBA geniuses all. Jazz Mavs. Who wins that series?
Luka Doncic, is he playing or not? Is he hurt?
He's out game one. I'm going to Jazz.
Me
purely
too.
Because of the unknown nature of Luka.
Yeah, if Luka can't come back into that series by game two, I agree with you guys. With him, I think the Mavs win that series.
I agree with you.
That team was playing great. When they got rid of, what's his name, the tall kid from Germany, and brought in Spencer Dinwiddie, that's a huge change for the Mavs. The Timberwolves have looked really good the last month of the season, right? But I love the Grizzlies.
Well, look how well they played without Ja Morant.
I know.
I mean, holy
cow. 18-2 without Morant this year.
That's incredible.
Wow, really?
Yeah. That guy's the coach of the year, if you ask me.
The
Grizzlies coach, and I couldn't tell you his name.
The
Raptors and the Sixers. This is the James Harden Bowl. Harden doesn't play great, and there's no way the Sixers win this series, if you ask me.
Because overall, Toronto's a better team, and
Sixers have more talent, don't they?
I think the Sixers have to win that one. I do. I mean,
that,
just
that
from their fan base.
Yeah.
The way that I look at it, I don't think it matters. James Harden is not the James Harden of 2 years ago.
Right.
This is not a guy that automatic 33 points. You know, part of it is the fact, Rich, they don't give him all the foul calls. You know, James Harden led the league in free throws 3 years in a row. Mm. Went to the free throws more than any center, any big man, whatever else. 16 or 17 free throws a night.
Yeah, because they changed the officiating this year. Basically,
for him,
it's a James Harden rule.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Because he created more fouls by what he did.
Absolutely.
So, it's throwing his. Wow. He hasn't adjusted yet to the new rule.
He doesn't get six free shots a game. And he's, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but Kevin Durant was talking about how shocked he was that on what poor shape Durant was when he came into camp in New York this year. Yeah, he looks overweight.
Yeah.
How out of shape Harden was when he came. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't like the Sixers here. Then the Nuggets and the Warriors, looks like Steph Curry is going to play. You know, if they can stay healthy the whole way, that's going to be interesting to see them. Love to see that series against the Suns. Should be fantastic if we have healthy teams on both sides.
Yes.
And then the other series is that gets started on Sunday is the Nets and the Celtics.
Oh, that'll be good.
Wow.
I think this is, the Nets will be lucky to win two games from the Celtics.
Yeah, you think the Celtics?
Well, I think
are
I like Boston too, but I, man.
Time for their young guys to step up there in the playoffs. And
once upon a time, we thought the Nets would be dominant.
Ben Simmons is going to be an important addition, but I don't think he's going to play. You know who played really well in the play-in game, Rich, and it would be very helpful if they're going to do something, is Andre Drummond. Drummond looked really good.
He provided some quality minutes.
Well, you know, if he can provide 10 and 10 for them every night, that's going to be a huge help. I don't know. He hasn't been able to do it. And, you know, Blake Griffin is a non-factor anymore. He didn't even play. And same thing with LaMarcus Aldridge. They've got these guys that were great at one time that really don't even have anything left in the tank.
Right.
It's kind of sad to see.
It is.
But the Celtics are young. They play great defense. And I think the Nets will be lucky to win two games there.
Hmm.
And the Bulls and the Bucks, unfortunately, the Chicago is another team that's really badly injured, missing two starters. Lonzo Ball was just playing great basketball for them.
He was, and
just
he's
like in
out.
Cleveland, Rich, Ricky Rubio really had that team cooking, and they lost Rubio, they lost Jared Allen, and one other starter. I mean, you know, it's not the same Cleveland team, and it's not the same Bucks will roll.
That absolutely.
The Bulls will be lucky to win a game. And then who's the other we're missing a team from the West. I don't see it. Okay.
What do you think, Chase? I know we have to go to break real quick. Any potential truth to Juwan Howard and the Lakers? There's a lot of potential candidates for that job. But
well, you know, he's obviously good friends with Rob Pelinka. They were teammates together.
Yes.
But I don't think he's leaving Michigan unless it's for the Miami Heat job, and I don't see that job opening up.
Yes,
possibly the Bulls. The Bulls talked to him last year. He said he wasn't going anywhere.
Really?
Why would you go? Why would you go to L.A.? That is maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no way yeah. that you, any coach stays in L.A. for more than 3 years. Look what they did to you're right. I got to go to break. But Luke Walton was the biggest up-and-coming coach in the NBA, and they destroyed him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever be a head coach again in the NBA. I mean, he was coaching the Kings, and he got fired after a year there. And tough.
The Lakers
where coaches go to die.
Unrealistic expectations, and it's just
The only coach that's last there more than 3 years, Pat Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just impossible to coach there. All right, when we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, we will get into Keith's favorite subject, lacrosse. But, you know, as we talked about, guys, the playoffs are here. And every game feels like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you get paid faster than a fast break. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code WGRY. Once again, that's promo code WGRY.
And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win.
FanDuel Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and present in Michigan. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Take a quick tip from me, guys, on FanDuel. Bet at halftime. Watch the games lead up to halftime and then make your bets there. That is the way to go. Back after these on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio and Friday Face-Off. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. Of course, we're brought to us by FanDuel, if you couldn't tell. I was just saying, I love betting golf, but you got to know golf. I mean, you know, I think you'd have to know any of these sports to bet on them.
To make money.
But yeah. I mean, if you're going to be serious about it.
Right. If you just want to donate, you can do it.
Well, anybody can get lucky. I mean, you know, sure. You win the football pool once a week. You know, women win it all the time.
But on colors.
Yeah. But, from Augusta now to Hilton Head, that is a traditional 1-2 punch on the PGA Tour. And couldn't have two more dissimilar golf courses. Hilton Head is the tightest, shortest golf course they play on tour. And the Augusta National course, huge sloping fairways.
Yeah.
But I was happy to hear you guys actually watch some golf. Is that the one time a year?
Well, it's the one time I absolutely make sure I watch. I saw a lot of it all 4 days, but Sundays I'm kind of glued to the TV. But I watch the majors pretty closely. I don't watch a whole lot of. I'm usually down on a boat or something, and you know, I'm doing something, fishing or whatever. So I don't see a ton of golf like you do, but I really enjoy the Masters especially. I never miss the leader walking up to the 18th fairway. It's one of the greatest moments in sports, I think.
Well, what was greater, Scottie Scheffler's walk up 18 or Tiger's?
Well, both of them are pretty inspirational, no question about it. But for me, it was Scottie Scheffler.
Who's Tiger looking like Douglas MacArthur with his cane.
Yeah,
that day four after that walk, is, you know, JC, how hilly that course is. And it was wearing on him for sure.
I'm not a Tiger sycophant. Never have been,
right.
You know.
No.
But I have to give him all the kudos in the world to get his act together and to be able to huff it out for 4 days to make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell that he couldn't concentrate fully with all the pain and being out of playing shape and everything else. So, but the smile on his face walking off the 18th green to all those kudos, and we love you, Tiger, and everything else. You know, the guy must actually be human in some form.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the part. Old Tiger, I was never a big fan of and all that. But when he's become a little more human in the last few years, I've kind of been rooting for him. But again, like you, JC, I was never a big fan of his early on in his career.
The fact that he played was inspirational. Just
certainly
to sign up to play. Shooting a 71 under on the first day,
yeah.
You know, give the guy credit.
It was a fascinating tournament. Like I was telling you guys off air, I would have liked to have seen Cameron Smith not hit it into the water and make six, or did he make six or seven? I think he made seven actually there, and shot himself out of the tournament after getting back into it by birdieing 11, which was the hardest hole on the golf course all week long. 10 total birdies on number 11. So, he shot himself in the foot. And then you guys, you don't know golf.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, when great round by Rory McIlroy, makes an eagle on 13.
7 under par. That's a good round.
But he eagles 13, and all of a sudden he's 3 back. And what does he do? He misses his first fairway of the day, has no chance to make birdie on 14, does the same thing on 15, which is a birdie hole. Got to make birdie there. He misses the spot on the slope on 16, so it doesn't roll up close. So as soon as he got into the heat of the battle, he choked again. You know, I love Rory, don't get me wrong, but I had the same comments on Finding Fairways that's going to be on tomorrow and Sunday. As soon as he got in the heat of the battle again, he let himself down. He could have made two more birdies, Keith, and made it really freaking interesting.
I understand that. I get that. And he pretty much acknowledged that in his interview afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, I could have been there. Do you think you have a chance? No, I don't have a chance. He's, you know, he kind of admitted the what you just said.
Do you think that it's the back nine that gets him? It's when he had the big lead, remember, a few years ago?
And that was when he was a kid.
It was a kid, right? But do you think that's in his head at this point, JC? Or is he
I think he has the same problem, Rich, not only in majors, because he's always in the top five betting favorites in the majors. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won five majors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he won five majors before he's 26. Hasn't won a major in 11 years.
He just needs the Masters. 11
years he hasn't won a major.
Has it been that long?
Yes. Wow. He just needs this for the career Grand Slam, right?
The Masters. But what I'm saying is in the first day of any major, he has one bad nine holes. Did it this year.
Yeah.
Shot 38 on the backside. It doesn't matter whether it's the front side or the backside. He does this in every single frickin' major. And then the other 3 days, he plays as good as anybody in the tournament, good enough to win. Mm-hmm. This is an MO that's now even starting to pop up on the PGA Tour. He still usually wins a couple of PGA, you know, a couple of years ago, he won, or what was it, 3 years ago, he won the FedEx Cup. I mean, it's not like he's a slug, but now that's happening even on every PGA Tour stop that he plays in. He has one bad nine holes that is unrecoverable to win.
Right.
You know, he's set for life. This is part of the problem, you know, is that he's set for life. His kids are set for life. And it's hard to dig down deep unless you're a Tiger Woods or a Phil Mickelson or a Jack Nicklaus. It's just that, the money's great, but hardware, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He provided me with one of my greatest moments in golf.
Rory. Okay.
And when he won the, I think it was the U.S. Open. It's always in mid-June, right?
Mm-hmm.
He won it on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And he saw his dad. His dad came to hug, and he said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad."
Yeah.
You know, that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, he's a great, like you said, what you approach a sport one way when you haven't had success and all that. How do you handle success? Then do you still have that internal drive to keep going, to dig deep, to practice all of those hours that you needed to do when you were coming up? You know, like you said, money, success, it, you know, kind of makes you comfortable.
I mean, you know, golf, tennis, and boxing, mm-hmm. you know, those are the sports, mm-hmm. race car driving to a lesser extent. It's all on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, golf has got a lot of interesting aspects to it, is the fact that you can play a hell of a lot longer than you can any other sport unless you're Tom Brady. And but it's so mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hit a shot, and then you got 4 minutes to hit the next shot, right? And so much crap runs into your head. There was a really interesting interview. I guess I'm going to do it. So who was the guy? Charles Schwartzel was two shots back of mm-hmm. Scheffler going into Saturday and played in the final. Now, Charles Schwartzel won the Masters.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, it's the only reason why he's there. And they interviewed him after Friday's round about, well, what's turned your game around? Because he hasn't even been on a PGA leaderboard in years.
Mm-hmm.
And he got seriously into how much he hates his golf game. How he, you know, I'm practicing all week long, and I go out and play, and I'm shooting 62, 63s, and I go out on the course, and I make two bogeys in the first four holes, and my brain won't shut up. You suck. You can't play this game. You know, I mean, it was stuff that I know, because you read about in books and everything else.
You hardly hear people in that at that level say those words out loud.
He got into it for like 5 minutes. And, and kudos to the guys for the Golf Channel to just shut up listen to him talk. And it was earth-shattering to me. Just that, like you said, Keith, you don't often see athletes pull that shield completely down.
Right.
I saw Norman do it.
Pure honesty.
Interviews after he blew the one Masters with
right.
follow. But nothing is harder than golf, mentally.
Right.
And it's not even close.
Right.
Because even though tennis, you're one-on-one, it's a fast-motion sport. You don't have time to think about it,
That's
right?
Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, baseball has a little bit of that element to
mm-hmm.
it. But you still have teammates to pick you up. Tiger said that, right? He goes, you know, it's not like if you're not feeling 100%, you can lean on some of your other teammates on a basketball team. Or,
that's right.
You know, football is only one day a week. You got 4 days in a row of that kind of competition with 132 guys mm-hmm. all wanting to do the same thing you do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's why I love golf.
Yeah.
Because it's just the hardest thing to do well.
And you know the amount of work it takes practicing to get to the level these guys are at. It's just incredible.
Well, and the thing is, Rich, is like you see these guys on the range and they can hit any shot in the world. Not just Tiger Woods. Like, I've been to, you know, some exhibitions, and the first time I ever saw it is when Butch Harmon was coaching Tiger Woods, and you know Tiger had all those commitments to Buick,
mm-hmm.
so he would put on an exhibition for Buick guys, right? And Butch would be up there, and Tiger would be hitting some balls, and as Tiger's swinging, he'd go hit a low draw. Toof! Woods in mid swing, do it. A high heel, you know, just throwing things at him. And Dustin Johnson and Freddie Couples, and I've seen these guys on there, and they can just hit any shot they want, whenever they want it. Not in a tournament.
Right.
Not all the time.
Right. Right.
So that's why I love golf.
Wow.
Okay, we were supposed to talk about hockey, but we didn't.
This is better.
We will be back after these words, after we get off Jerry Coyne's psychology couch on Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And Keith, the Wings continue to be a roller coaster like none other. Thank you very much for following a pattern of playing crappy hockey and then great hockey, because it's benefiting me on FanDuel.
I got to give you kudos, JC. I never would have called what you called ahead of that game in a million years. Carolina, one of the best teams in the East. Very, very good hockey team. The Wings are playing on the road where they haven't played very well all year long.
Nedeljkovic.
How many? 46 shots. They were outshot 46-22, and they won 3-0. How do you figure that out? I don't know. But granted, Nedeljkovic was the difference in that game, but a whole bunch of other guys contributed to a shutout. Is that the kind of effort that makes you want to fire the coach?
It's mind-boggling.
It is. But you know, Moritz Seider, great game again by that kid. He's playing 24, 25 minutes a game. He controls the game. He just turned 21. Controls the game every shift that he's on the ice. Scored the winning goal last night with about 12 seconds to go in the first period. But the Wings played a really good game. And now they got a tough one coming up tomorrow. They're still
Rangers.
They play the
Rangers and Panthers.
12:30 tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon they play.
And then they turn around and play the next on Sunday against Panthers back at home. So
yeah.
Now and then the Lightning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not easy down the stretch.
No. And if I'm following their pattern, they should win either the Panther or the Lightning game, or at least keep it close. Now, as I told you guys before, the betting lines are pretty stable in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
The favorite is minus 1.5 goals. The underdog is getting 1.5 goals. And then you've got an over and under, usually of 6.5 is the standard. But if Toronto and the Lightning are playing, it might get up to 7.5, right?
6.5, by the way, is kind of a big number. That number's been going up over the last couple of years. It used to be 5.5 was the static number. They're scoring a lot more goals in the NHL these days, which is good to see.
Not our Red Wings.
No. they have one of the worst goal differentials in the league. They're about, I think, fourth from the bottom. They're like minus 67 this year, something like that.
But, so a little bit of easy stuff to follow if you want to get into to betting the NHL. You're going to have to throw all of that out in the playoffs.
No question about that. But, JC, as long as we're on hockey, I just want to mention one thing. Breaking news as we're coming in this morning. Mike Bossy, the New York Islanders, one of the greatest goal scorers in the history of the game, died earlier today. I think he was suffering from cancer, age 65. This guy played, he broke into the league, started scoring 50 goals right off the bat, played 10 years, only 10 years in the league, and scored 573 goals in 10 years. If he would have had a typical career, played 15, 18 years, but it was cut short by a bad back, he would probably have scored more goals than Wayne Gretzky finished with. One of the greatest goal scorers of all time. And I got to know him a little bit, you know, when I was covering the Wings there, covering the NHL. A really good guy.
Yeah.
But a great, great. With that Islanders team, four Stanley Cups in a row.
Well, let's face it. Back then, the only jackass in hockey was Bobby Hull.
Well, yeah.
From the 60s, 70s.
Correct.
I mean, Bobby Orr was the sweetheart. I mean, all the big superstars.
Yep.
Very approachable. Sign every autograph. You know. Until just recently, the last 15 years, and most, you'd still say hockey players are the easiest to get along with.
No question about it. Yeah, it's still a good guys to be around. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're the kind of guys where you finish up an interview with them, they say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Which is unheard of.
JC, I just wanted to mention Roger Goodell, of course, the commissioner of the NFL, was in to Detroit yesterday.
Did he get booed?
He did not. But in a couple of years in Detroit, just to make him feel right at home.
Yeah, God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, he did say that Detroit will feel $200 million money will be pumped into the economy of Detroit when they host the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty exciting stuff. I don't know how they twisted his arm to get this done. I don't know if the Fords still exude that much. It used to be, you know, the old saying is that the reason why Thanksgiving Day never moves or anything else is because the Fords are the biggest advertiser. Ford Motor Company is one of the biggest advertisers in the NFL, and they still are, but not nearly to the extent that they used to be.
Right.
So I don't know what things came to bear for Chicago to be. Where is it next year? I know it's in Vegas
this year. I'm not sure where it is next year.
I don't know where it is in 23. I don't know if it's in Chicago, but there's a lot of bigger cities that they could put this thing in. So maybe they just made the most passionate pitch. But it's going to be cool. And I told you, Rich, if we're still around doing this program, we're going down there and doing it there.
Woo! That would be fun.
$200 million. We're talking about a three-day event. I mean, it's going to be a carnival atmosphere down in.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Final Four.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it'll be a great time, no doubt about it.
So, kudos to the commissioner and the NFL for doing it, and maybe it had something to do with Hard Knocks. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of buzz about the Lions. I don't know how much time we have. Mock draft.
Yeah.
what's his name? Kuiper has got us taking a DB.
From Cincinnati, that Armand Sauce Gardner.
Yeah. He's a great cover corner. No doubt about it.
But we got a bad taste in our mouth with DBs right now, early in the draft.
This guy's from Cincinnati, for Christ's sake.
I don't know
what's going to happen. You know, the more I think about it, I don't know if Hutchinson is going to drop. I don't know if I take him. Even if he's there, I don't know if I take him.
Why?
Because I think he had a great year. He was injured the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the same physical skills as Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Will he be good? Yes. I think he'll be very solid. Will he be TJ or JJ Watt when they first came into the league, or some of these, you know, Julius Peppers or whatever? See, Thibodeau is Julius Peppers, right?
Yeah.
Whether, you know, his want to is what everybody's asking, but you and I have talked about this a couple times. Chase Young, we weren't sure about his want to.
Right.
Now, he hasn't been the enormous game wrecker that, you know, like Bosa and everything is, but those are the guys that are, you know, that just can't be stopped physically.
Right.
And I think Hutchinson can be stopped physically.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Georgia did a good job in that playoff game. You didn't see much of them.
Yeah.
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 I'm just saying, no knock. I love it.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're saying, but the Thibodeau guy scares me a little bit.
I hear you.
In the dressing room.
Because he's starting his own cryptocurrency thing. Is he more, you know, does he like more things off the field that football provide you?
These rabbit holes. Yeah.
I hear you. And who's the last great pro out of Oregon?
We got him on our team
Joe
right
Harrington.
Now. Penei Sewell.
That's a good point. Penn 8. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe he can get him like, hey, look it, dude.
Right.
You know, who knows? You know, that'll be a much bigger topic of discussion.
It's coming fast.
Next week here on Up North Sports Radio and Friday Face Off, guys. But I'm going to be hunkering down for the playoffs, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place no sweat. Same game parlays each week. You sit on that chair, you watch the game, you pump in the numbers. It's a great way to win, and you get $20 in free bets if you don't win.
FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. New to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WGRY. Once again, that's promo code WGRY.
And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA.
21 and present in Michigan. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Free bet max $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. That'll do it for us here on... Did you have one other thing?
First pitch, 8:10 tonight. Tigers at Kansas City.
Thank you. Right here. Up North Sports Radio. Very good, Keith. You're following my emails. Back after this. Don't forget, Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio. If you like your golf talk, there's a whole hour of it, including an interview with Ryan Brehm from Michigan State, who had one of the biggest wins on the PGA
sure
Tour
did.
With his wife on the bag. I have both of them on the show. So it's a great listen to. That happens right here at 9 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays on Up North Sports Radio.